Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Utkshipta vala kacharat katora.
Utkshipta vala kacharat katora.
Sata vidunvan kararoma shatrak.
Sata vidunvan
kararoma shatrak. Kurahatabrat sita damstra iksha. Jyotir Babase Bhagavan Mahidraha.
Jyotir Babase Bhagavan Mahidraha.
Utkshipta Vala Kacharat Kathora.
Utkshipta Vala Kacharat Kathora.
Sata Vidunvan Kararo Mashatvak.
Sata Vidunvan Kararo Mashatvak.
Kurahata brat sita damstra iksha. Jyotir babase bhagavan mahidraha.
Jyotir babase bhagavan mahidraha.
Kshiptavalaha.
Kshiptavalaha.
Slashing with the tail.
Slashing with the tail.
Kacharaha. In the sky. Katoraha.
Very hard.
Sataha.
Hairs on the shoulder.
Vidunvan.
Quivering.
Kara.
Sharp.
Romasha twak.
Romasha twak.
Skin full of hairs. Pura ahata.
Pura ahata.
Struck by the hooves.
Struck by the hooves.
Abraha.
Abraha.
The clouds.
The
Sita damstraha.
Sita damstraha.
White tusks.
White tusks.
Iksha.
Iksha.
Glance.
Glance.
Jyotihi.
Jyotihi.
Luminous.
Luminous.
Babasi began to emit an effulgence.
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead.
Mahidraha,
the supporter of the world. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before entering the water to rescue the earth, Lord Boar flew in the sky, slashing his tail, his hard hairs quivering. His very glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds in the sky with his hooves and his glittering white tusks. Purport. When the Lord is offered prayers by his devotees, his transcendental activities are described. Here are some of the transcendental features of Lord Boar. As the residents of the upper three planetary systems offered their prayers to the Lord, it is understood that his body expanded throughout the sky, beginning from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that his eyes are the sun and the moon. Therefore, his very glance over the sky was as illuminating as the sun or the moon. The Lord is described here as Mahidraha, which means either a big mountain or the sustainer of the earth. In other words, the Lord's body was as big and hard as the Himalayan mountains. Otherwise, how was it possible that he kept the entire earth on the support of his white tusks? The poet Jayadeva, great devotee of the Lord, has sung of the incident in his prayer for the incarnations. Vasati dashana shikare dharani tavalogna shashani kalanka kalevani magna keshavodrita sukararupa jaya jagadishahare. All glories to Lord Keshava Krishna, who appeared as the boar. The earth was held between his tusks, which appeared like the scars on the moon.
Jayadev Goswami is writing the Gita Govinda. This song is the first introduction to the Gita Govinda. So Jayadev's Stayi Bhava is in the loving relationship between Radha and Krishna. The whole poem is glorification of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But he's inserting, or in the very beginning, beginning with this auspicious glorification of the Dasha avatars, 10 incarnations. We may find, someone may find fault that this is rasa abhasa, you know, a mixture of incompatible rasas, but not. Krishna, everything is compatible within Krishna. These are his vilasa expansions, his pastime expansions, including Lord Boar, Lord Matsya, Lord Parashuram. The mood may be apparently different, but it's all included within Krishna. It's all expanding from him. So to glorify Krishna is always compatible with glorifying his expansions. Even though the mood may seem foreign for us, maybe not, some devotees, it's individual taste, some devotees may not like these fearsome forms of the Lord, Lord Varaha, Lord Nrisimha, Lord Parashuram, who killed all the Kshatriyas in the world 27 times. 21 times over. 7 times 3, sorry. Trik Saptakrit Fakupito Nikshatram Akarod Mahim. The same Mahi, relationship with the earth, but here he's covering the earth with blood of the Kshatriyas that he slaughters 23 times, 7 times. There's a large section of the Skanda Purana, 67 chapters, all the Leela of Lord Parashuram in elaborate gory detail. So maybe someday someone can translate that.
67 chapters?
Yes, on the pastimes of Lord Parashuram. Bhagavatam, I don't know, there's a couple of chapters. But you want all the gory details, they're there in the, for the devotees of Lord Parashuram. We can have it translated and call it the Bhargava Ramayana if you want. I think it would be nice, interesting contribution to the literature. One of our devotees can translate it. But that's in a special mood. Not every Vaishnava is attracted to that form, those forms of the Lord. But they have their devotees. And of course, these avatars appear at different times in different places. So the inhabitants of those places and of those times are especially attracted to their own avatars. The avatars who appeared in their time and their place are going to be favored by their fans. Krishna accommodates all of this, and devotional service accommodates all these rasas. Devotional service is founded on variety. Krishna has many devotees, and each devotee has a different, individual, unique, personal relationship with Krishna. Krishna doesn't want everybody to be the same. He doesn't want to always be the same and have the same relationships, the same pastimes all over again all the time. He wants variety. Therefore, he expands for his own pleasure and for the pleasure of his devotees. And therefore, the Bhagavatam describes the great variety of the appearances of the Lord and of the different kinds of devotees he has. Srila Sanatana Goswami has very kindly shown that in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the variety of devotees and the hierarchy. What the whole theme of the first half of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is, whose devotion is best, which devotee has the most of Krishna's mercy. In the end, Krishna points out to Narada, don't you understand, they all have my full mercy. But still, the variety is there. And that is in the Bhagavatam, but it's not systematic. Srila Sanatana Goswami has presented it systematically in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the understanding of the different varieties of devotional service. That's the philosophical purpose of him writing that book, is to present the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam from the point of view of the varieties of devotees in devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami has written another book, which he says is based on the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and it's much shorter, the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and it's written in a whole different style. It's written in Rupa Goswami's own terse, shastric style, not in poetry. Although he quotes shlokas, but the in between the shlokas are just short statements, like in, as he does also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The style is different, and the content is different. It talks about the different expansions of Krishna. But it's the same topic. It's the Bhagavatam, the glory of Bhagavan, glories of Bhagavan and his expansions. But instead of describing from the point of view of the devotees in devotional service, the varieties of that, he talks about the varieties of Krishna himself, how he expands in different ways in his self-same Swamsha avatars. So the same, actually same topic, but a different side of the topic. It's described in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita. It's all there in the Bhagavatam. We just have to study it carefully and maybe do a little analysis, study the commentaries, and put things into perspective and order. But all this knowledge is contained in Srimad Bhagavatam. By studying, the order of presentation may not be systematic in the sense of in the way that Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami made two different systematic analyses. No, it isn't in that way systematic, but it is pedagogically systematic. The Bhagavatam has been designed to train us up gradually from the conditioned state to the pure Krishna conscious condition by presenting us what we should understand and can understand at each stage of our enlightenment. It's a programmed course of enlightenment. They don't have that anymore, I think. It's programmed instruction, but they used to, even before they used computers, they used to write textbooks where instead of having lessons organized chapter by chapter by topics, you'd have little just questions, you know, a little bit of information and a question on it, and according to your answer, it would send you to another section. You have to jump to, you know, to section 544 if you answered this way, and if you answered that way. If you made a mistake, then you go back, sends you back to learn it all over again. So it's like a network of questions and answers, little pieces of information, then questions and tests, little quiz, and then it sends you off in different directions according to how you respond. That's called programmed instruction. I don't think they try to do that anymore. Maybe they do on computers. Use computers for that kind of thing. So the Bhagavatam is a programmed course of instruction, although it doesn't have these branches sending you back and forth. But it's meant to correct our misunderstandings, provide us the insights we need, and the appreciation, especially the appreciation of the personality of God, that has to be introduced to us gradually. Therefore, the 10th canto is kept in the middle of the book, a little bit after. The middle, exact middle of the Bhagavatam is chapter 13 of the 8th canto, counting the number of shlokas. The Bhagavatam is somewhere in the second half. The 10th canto is somewhere over the middle, 60% into the Bhagavatam is the beginning of the 10th canto. We have to go through 60% of the Bhagavatam before we're supposed to read the 10th canto, because we should be properly trained up in understanding who Krishna actually is. what his influence and powers are, how compassionate he is. Then, when we read about Krishna dancing with other men's wives, we won't misunderstand, and we won't be envious. That's Shukadeva Goswami's plan, or actually Vyasadeva's. Ideal book for both the conditioned souls and even for those who are liberated. Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Go ahead and read the Bhagavatam until you attain liberation and even beyond it. It's not only for conditioned souls. Hare Krishna. Okay, so any questions or comments? Yes?
I seem to remember, like, the very last section of Bhagavatam Gita. He does a quick
Briya Bhagavatam.
He does a quick Briya Bhagavatam Gita first part. Like,
well, it's a quick, yeah, you know, it's a very short section on the Bhaktam Gita.
Yeah.
The variety of devotees.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, he openly acknowledges, I don't know if he says it in the book, maybe he says it somewhere else. You know, somewhere else he says that he wrote his Laghu Bhagavatamrita specifically as a summary of his elder brother's book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Before that, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was just called Bhagavatamrita. Then when the second one got written, Rupa Goswami called it the Laghu, and then the other one became the Brihad. Hare Krishna. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.